This morning, I would like us to turn to John chapter 1 and start at verse 12. Actually, I'll read verse 11. He, Jesus, came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hold that thought, and let's turn to Romans chapter 9. And we'll begin at verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Isaiah, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now what we have here is a change in people. We have an opportunity through Jesus to become sons of God. That has not always been the case as far as the Gentiles are concerned. Before Jesus came on the scene, the door was pretty much closed and only open to those that were of the house of Israel. But because they did not receive him, the door has been open to all of those of all nations. So what does it mean to become a son of God? That's what we're going to discuss this morning. Now, the phrase Son of God should not be misunderstood to only mean those that are of the male persuasion. The term Son of God or Sons of God means those that are His children. And here we have in Romans 9 that phrase, children of the living God. So those of you that read this should understand it means sons and daughters, children of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Yeah, we are not the sons of God as the Jews were made the sons of God. We have to be adopted. There is a process of adoption that God is putting everyone through. And we call him Father. That is something of the New Testament. The concept of God as Father is over and over a very common occurrence. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, we understand that those that are led by the Spirit of God, those that follow His word of truth, they can be considered sons. But that is not the whole story, the whole picture. This is a process, an adoption process. It begins with us making a step forward to wanting to become a son or daughter. But we can fail that process. We can remove ourselves from the selection process. The completion of this adoption is when our bodies are redeemed. Waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, that is when we are fully made the sons and daughters of God. The time in which we may be also, in verse 17, glorified together. In verse 19, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So yes, we are striving to be sons of God and daughters of God, the children of God, but that is a process, a growth process. And the full fruition of that is not complete until the glorification of our bodies, the perfection of our bodies. There is a mention of sons of God that is different than what we're talking about today. Let's turn to Job chapter 38. And in verse 7 it says, "When the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy." And here we would understand this to refer to the angels. They are those that are in the presence of God and are also called the sons of God. We will find that being in the presence of God does make one a son of God, someone worthy to be in His presence. Jesus made a comparison between the angels and between those that would be the sons of God as those that were followers of Jesus. And then that's found in Luke 20. And in verse 34, "And Jesus answering and said unto them, The children of this world marry, and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." Now, I don't believe Jesus is saying that we will be angels, but we'll be like the angels in a couple of aspects. First of all, we won't be able to die anymore. Children of the resurrection, being a child of God, means that you will eventually be born through the resurrection, being made a new individual. That is what makes us ultimately the child of God. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. And starting at verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We can consider ourselves sons of God now. Like I said, it was a process, and Paul explained it as an adoption process. But it does not yet appear what we shall be, the full manifestation of the sons of God. That is something that we wait for, and that will only happen at His appearing. Turn to Luke chapter 6. In verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the thankful, He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. To be considered a son of God now, or in the process of adoption, there are certain guidelines that we must follow that are considered godly. And we are commanded by Jesus to love our enemies, to do good, and to lend. To do those things, our reward will be great. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Being sons and daughters requires us to be a part of a family, to be part of a special group, a group that is not like other groups. Let's start at 2 Corinthians in verse 14. It says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If we are to be a son and a daughter and be a part of the family of God, it requires us to be separate from things that are not godly, from other groups, other families. We must separate ourselves and make it known that we are of the family of God. We have no communion with those that are unbelievers and infidels in the sense that we partake in their doings. We come together as a body, as a group, special group, that is looking forward to something very special, and we have that in common. We don't have that in common with the world. We must maintain that separation. That's very important. We must teach our children these things. There's activities that we are involved in, but we always should keep that mind frame that we are separate from the rest of the world, those that do not believe, those that are not even trying to be sons and daughters of God, that do not really want anything to do with the resurrection or the hope of that resurrection or the kingdom on this earth. We must stay pure from those things that would keep us from being the children of God. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. And start at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Spirit and the Scripture foreseeth that God would justify the heathen through faith, preacheth before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Now if you go down to verse 26, it says, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there's a lot of things that are intertwined here. We are sons of God, we are sons of Abraham, and we are heirs of a promise. Romans 4, it says that Abraham would be heir of the world. And if we take certain steps, we can become this child of God. It says if we put on Christ, and that is as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put Him on. The first step of becoming a son of God is to take this step of becoming a new person, washing your sins away in a figurative sense, being baptized and coming out of that water a new individual. Then are ye Christ, and then we become the children of God. And heirs according to the promise. And the promise that was given to Abraham is that he would inherit a specific piece of real estate. And we can only have that if we want to take these steps to go in that direction. Now, Abraham was required to take a certain step also, and he was required to perform the work of circumcision, him and all his males in his household, whether they were his descendants or his servants, had to perform this act, and it was a sign of the covenant between him and God, that they wanted to be of a special group that would inherit these promises. Now, baptism is also of the same figure. And we find that Paul mentions this in the book of Colossians. And let's go to Colossians chapter 2. And in verse 11 it says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith and of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." So, circumcision was a requirement, and now baptism is that requirement also, to become a child of God, and to see the end result of being a child of God, to being in His presence ultimately. Now, we mentioned that God is supposed to be our Father. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 and starting at verse 6. "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father," and this is God speaking to Israel, If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith Jehovah of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? If God is to be considered our Father, He is deserving of a certain amount of respect and honor and fear. And it is important for us to identify what He requires and to follow those things. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And starting with verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." What is interesting here is that we I think we can draw a comparison. The fathers and mothers that we have on this earth protect us from things that would harm us. They tell us not to run into the street, not to play in the street, not to run with scissors, you know, not to put plastic bags over our heads. Things like this that would ultimately shorten our life. They try to teach us these things to make our lives prosperous and much longer. And if we think of it in terms of God being our Father, He is providing us a way of lengthening our days, providing us a way of making our life be extended. But we're talking about eternal life, and that is the promise that we have to look forward to. So children, when you think about the commandment to obey your parents and how important that is, remember that we're not just obeying our parents, we are obeying God, and this will lead to a long life and hopefully a long life in the kingdom. Now, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 1. And Solomon says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord Jehovah with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord Jehovah, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord Jehovah with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." We have a list of things here that will provide lengthening of our days, and that is to follow commandments, to let mercy and truth be a part of our lives, and to keep those things within our hearts. It isn't just something that, oh yeah, we know that we need to do those things. It's something that really means something to us. Something that we're passionate about. And if we follow those things, we will not only be prosperous in the eyes of God, but we will prosper in the eyes of man. It is hard for us to trust in God fully, but it is something that He asks us to do, especially if He is our Father. And if you think of when you were a child, you hadn't any cares. Your parents did everything for you. You looked to them for guidance in everything. And if you ran into the street and disobeyed the rules that they set down, they corrected you for that. But when you spank a child for doing what is wrong and he realizes it, he tends to come back to you, doesn't he? He or she. And they are somewhat thankful for and appreciative that you are their parent. And they forget soon that they have been corrected, that they don't think of it in a negative way. They want to please you, so they go on to try to modify their behavior. We are to honor God with not just our lip service, but with our substance, everything that we have, all our material goods, and especially with the first fruits of our increase. That means the very first things that we get our hands on, we should remember to return those things to God or use them for His purposes. We shouldn't despise the chastening of the Lord. We should be accepting of it. It should be something that we should be very thankful for, because without that, we would not have an opportunity to have our days lengthened. He does it because He loves us, just as we love our children. And in the book of Hebrews, it says that He scourgeth every son. So if we want to be a part of the family of God and become a son or a daughter, just get that right in your head, that you are going to fall under correction. We are going to have things that we're going to deal with because He is trying to bring us back into the fold. But we should not allow ourselves to be brought to the point of despair, but to find a way to correct ourselves and to bring ourselves up. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. And start with verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that it may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The problem that we face is that we do live in a perverse society. And it is hard for us to maintain that level that is required of the sons and daughters of God because we have all these things affecting us around us. But if we are working hard, God is working in us. As many as are to be the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. So if we involve ourselves in the Spirit of God, we will be led in that direction. Now, if we hold forth the word of life, we may be able to rejoice in the day of Christ. And that is the day when the sons and daughters of God, the adoption process, is finally sealed and delivered, where we become the true sons of God. We have to hold out until that day. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We have a constant struggle. The manifestation of the sons of God and the manifestation of the children of the devil. We have the opportunity to choose which one that we will be a part of. And here the works of the devil are subject to destruction in verse 8 through the Son of God. Jesus was brought onto the scene so that he ultimately could put in motion the things that would bring about the destruction of Satan. If we want to be born of God, we have to remove sin out of our lives. The difference between us and the world is that when we do sin, we have the opportunity with the mediator that we have Since we've been baptized into Christ, He becomes our mediator that we can have our sins forgiven and come back under the cloak of being the children of God. But without that, we remain the children of the devil. And if he is, his end result will be destruction, so will ours. Turn to Acts chapter 13. In verses, starting at verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? We have to be able to recognize those things that are being perverted. Those that are perverting the right ways of the Lord. Paul mentions that there is going to be a falling away. And that in that falling away, a son of perdition, a son of destruction, a son of ruin will be revealed. We have to prepare ourselves for those that would pervert the right ways of God. And they are not the sons and daughters of God. We have to be alert and to watch out for these things. The only way to do that is to involve ourselves in the Spirit of God, to learn His Word and have that lead us. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. Yeah, we should have had these things in the past. Those of us that have chosen to become sons of God and have put on Christ, we look at these things as having been our past life, our old man. That is the way the world has a certain course about itself, a certain direction that it's going. And we are not to be going in that direction. The prince of the power of the air, we've already talked about the children of the devil, so we understand who this prince is that is leading the world down this course. The children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. If we decide to go that route, we are the children of wrath. That is all that we have ahead of us. We do not have length of days and long life. We have nothing but wrath set aside for us. The destruction that will occur for Satan and his seed. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ. The ages to come, the age to come, we have a couple of ages to come. We have the kingdom age, and we have the perfect age. He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace, His favor, in those ages. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So often we hear that you are saved by grace and not by works. But what should be pointed out here is that we are to do the works that our Father has ordained in verse 10, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yeah, we are saved by grace through our faith, but only if we do the works of our Father. If you think of our parents giving us chores to do, and there are things that we are required to do, mowing the lawn, doing the dishes, cleaning our room, God has set forth a list of chores for us to do and to complete. That is true faith, when we do the things that are required of us. If we say we have faith and we don't do the chores or the things that are required, our faith is dead, as it mentions in the book of James. Let's turn over a few chapters to chapter 5, Ephesians. Start at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Once again, we see how important it is to remain separate from the rest of the world, not to be a part of the list of things that we're given. We're given a list of chores to do, but we're also given a list of things not to do. Anybody that does these things in this list hath no inheritance in the kingdom of God. We are to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Find those things. What is it that pleases our Father? What makes Him happy? What will allow us to continue the process of adoption so that one day He might call us His Father, as one that was produced by a father? The word child that we've been reading means one that has been produced as an offspring. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my child, my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is what we ultimately look forward to, is a time that our Father will call us His child. It is when the day that we are finally are complete, made completely new. We're not just new in the sense that we have changed our ways, but we are new 100%. We have been made immortal and can actually dwell in the presence of God. And we will inherit all things. The inheritance of Christ, the inheritance of the kingdom, and the inheritance of actually being able to be in the presence of our Father. If there is anyone today that would like to become a part of the inheritance through Christ by the waters of baptism, please do so as we sing our song.